that much dedicated time in our culture, somewhere north or south of that, as far as intentional day in, day out communication investment, that God, I'm going to appeal to you and I'm going to beg you to help me as an imperfect parent do all I can in your expectation of me with as a steward to shepherd them towards the gospel to have an eternally grounded and minded life. That's a big task, isn't it? Some of you might now, right now in the room may be already discouraged about this idea, because you either want more time, you feel like you've squandered some time. Some of you may be encouraged, thinking, you know what? I haven't done perfect. That's a misnomer. There's no way. But I'm encouraged about at least the effort. Here's what I want to encourage you. No matter where you're at on this spectrum, from like, man, I've really blown it. I know it. My kids know it. My spouse knows it. Everybody who knows me knows it. But if you're on that end of the spectrum, all the way over to you're over here, and you're like, as best as I can say in good conscience to God, I'm making a genuine effort to submit to King Jesus for these stewards in my life. No matter where you find yourself in the spectrum, I want to talk to you briefly and encourage you this morning from the book of Proverbs. That's right in the middle. So if you have your Bible, open it right to the middle. If you have a paper copy, you'll likely, if you open it to the middle, you'll come across Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or pull out your phone and Google Proverbs chapter 22. I want to give you an important principle this morning that is declared all throughout the Bible. In other words, if you crack it open, start reading in Genesis, you're going to find this principle. If you crack it open and read the prophets, you're going to find this principle. If you go to the New Testament, you're going to find this principle. Over and over, God has not left you without aid, help, guidance, and encouragement when it comes to being a parent. Well, I don't have a spouse. I'm a single parent. God's not left you helpless. Well, I don't have my kids every weekend. God hasn't left you helpless. Well, I wish I'd heard this 10 years earlier. God hasn't left you helpless. There's help and hope today about being a parent, no matter what stage you are or if you haven't had the opportunity even to yet. So Proverbs 22, I'm going to give you a principle, try to give some encouragement, try to give some application, upset a few people along the way, and call today. All right? Proverbs 22:6, well-known verse that we need to be very thoughtful in how we approach it and apply it. What's it say there? I'm going to read it aloud. You can read it aloud with me. Proverbs 22:6, what does it say? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, what? He will not depart from it. That's important we say from the very beginning. Proverbs are not ironclad promises. They are expressions of God's truth and how they could and should be in a perfect world when they are operated upon. So therefore, they are wisdom to be acted upon in a fallen world, but don't always guarantee outcomes. How do I know this? Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. That's a good principle to employ, isn't it? Has it always worked for you? That's how we know it's a proverb, not an ironclad 1+1=3 promise. Making sure you're listening. All right. What's he trying to help us with? Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not depart from it. I'm going to give you the overall premises and practical walkthrough. The idea here is you, as a parent, mom or dad, you take your accountability on for instructing, training, disciplining, and nurturing the eternal soul that's been stewarded to your household. You train them towards the gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding they're an eternal being who will spend somewhere forever. And this life is just the beginning of what's really the rest of their life forever, either with the Lord or apart from him in hell, as we talked about last week. So understand it. Your role as a parent to God Almighty is to help shepherd them towards the gospel and give them eternal mindedness, valuing them as eternal beings who will spend somewhere forever. They're not your baseball player. They're not your soccer star. Apparently none of our boys are soccer stars. They're not your future engineer. They're not, those things may be fine, but you've missed the goal. Train up a child in the way he should go. I want to start off by helping us understand here. The author assumes that you as a parent have decided to become a follower of him and live in submission to his realm, his values, his priorities. That's the assumption of this text. So let me just start off by saying, you as a parent are woefully unequipped if you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ. You don't have the help, you don't have the aid, you don't have the right goal, and you will find yourself disappointed severely. Why? Because all that you would do as a parent is going to be to failing ends and a fleeting life that has finality in death. The author here is speaking to Jewish people who had the Old Testament and knew that there was a Messiah coming who could offer forgiveness and reconciliation. And so they had their trust in him coming to provide that deliverance. We on this side of the cross and grave and resurrection of Jesus Christ look back to understanding Jesus is the Messiah. Both parents looking to Jesus, expecting a Messiah, us understanding he is the Messiah. We are to live as parents in light of the reality that all humanity needs forgiveness and can't forgive themselves. Your baptism doesn't save you. This church cannot save you. Your morality is woefully short and will never save you. Nothing forgives except for Jesus and his perfect, final, finished work. If you're going to be the parent God calls you to be, desires you to be, even demands you to be, it starts with a real, vibrant, personal relationship with Jesus Christ where you have repented from what or who you used to believe, follow, and trust in, and you have begun following him, accepting what he did alone as a sacrifice for your sin, alone as the one who can grant life from death spiritually and eternally. And that is then evidenced in a life change from the inside out. If you're talking a big game about being a follower of God, and a lot of parents foolishly do that in America, and not living it, then please stop harming your child and repent and become a follower of Jesus. It starts there. And then, as you and I are trained by the Word, by the Spirit, when it's preached and taught, when we read it, when we submit to King Jesus and he begins changing us from the inside out, all things are become new, according to 2 Corinthians 5, right? As he does that, he trains us, and then we get to train them. This idea of training includes four principles the author of Proverbs hammers again and again and again and again. Here's your four friends, parents. I've set them off, and I hope you've listened and heard them and put them into practice. In the Proverbs, parents are called to instruct, train, discipline, nurture. Those are your four friends that you employ over and over as you steward this eternal soul towards Jesus Christ. Parents, yes, you have all the normal stuff. How do they tie their shoes? How do they not eat and talk at the same time? How do they be kind at school? Those things are important, but realize you're responsible for far more. You are to instruct them. Yes, in the daily necessities, but ultimately you're instructing them in the reality of the two realms at play. God's realm in eternity, this physical realm that they're living out an expression of trust or doubt, acceptance or rejection about him, even if they are his follower ultimately. So you are to instruct. Can I just pause here and encourage every parent to take full ownership of that reality? What do you mean, Pastor? We live in a everybody else's fault society. Some of you in here have worked in HR, or you've been a teacher, or you've been a boss, and it's incredible the amount of people who make decisions that somehow think they're not responsible for those decisions, right? I had the occasion, and only the occasion, thank God, to sub at a school. And I'm stunned every time. I don't know why I'm stunned every time. At the level of students in our culture, not just that school, any school, who everything wrong is everybody else's fault. Well, I didn't, you don't understand. And then there's a parent who's ready to come in and be what? My sweet baby never would have or wouldn't have or they could have been over. And then they're ready to just make what? Everybody else's fault for their kid's decision, which ultimately is a reflection of their lack of decisions as parents or poor decisions. When he calls you as a parent to instruct, you're taking full ownership and accountability of what God has given you in this realm for responsibility to pour into them and tell them what they don't know, what they need to know, what they should know. And that's everything from the ABCs, yes, all the way to how do I treat other people with dignity as they are eternal beings that will spend eternity somewhere. Listen, the gamut is yours to convey to your kids and to include voices into their life that only promote that, not demote or divide them away from that. So instructing is your job. Can I help us recognize that when he says train up a child, there's no neutrality? Think about that. There's no neutrality. In other words, every day you are training them towards someone or something by what you say, how you live, what you're choosing, what those choices show as far as priorities in this realm and in God's realm. And so hear it. You're always training. What are you training for? You need to be asking yourself, what am I instructing them about? Listen, this goes from the simple things like look them in the eye. If you say, hey, my kid just can't look an adult in the eye, that's a you problem. Well, that's not very kind. The simplest things of instruction start at the youngest ages. All the way up to, well, my kid can't sit in church. That's a you problem. What are you instructing there? Well, my kid threw rocks at the neighbor's fence and hit the dog. What kind of dog? We'll debate if it's okay or not. That's a you problem, right? I'm not trying to be unkind or just be frothy or be sassy, maybe a little bit, but here's the point. Take ownership. You don't have kids yet? Hear me clearly, brothers and sisters. Already start equipping your mind. Take ownership. It's not this awful burden. It is heavy, but it is an opportunity to shape and mold and help and draw this young person to reality. There is a creator God who loves them and wants them with him for forever. How you instruct is either going to push them towards that or pull them away from that. So you instruct, you tell them what they need to know, you train, you keep showing them how to do what you've told them. You keep showing them what's real and what's not about what you've told them. Because just because you told them once, likely doesn't mean they're going to follow through more than once, right? How many of you, the first time at work when you were shown something, nailed it the next time? Very few. I got put in this department one time when I worked for Jossens. They make like diplomas and shadow boxes. And they just put me in a room and said, here, this is the dark room. Here are the plates. You just do this and off you go. It's like a 5-minute tutorial. You want to guess how many products I ruined over the first week? I don't know. I just know we kept emptying trash cans and it was bad. They gave me the least amount of instruction, expected the most, and I did terrible. Once somebody showed me, guess what? I could do it and do it over and over and over. Parents, you're always instructing and you need to always be helping them in training to not only understand, but give the whys behind the what's and help them keep making the decisions about the what's. Or even if it's something simple, you had to help them learn how to brush your teeth more than once, how to get on time somewhere more than once. A few adults could be helped there, right? More than once. So you instruct, you train, and listen. Dirty words in our culture right now. You discipline. Not my sweet baby. There's only encouragement for them. That is the devil's tool to give your kid a warped understanding about sin. How does that translate when they're adults, when it comes to the gospel? And the wages of sin is, how horrible is God? How dare he? Does he not know what I've been doing and trying? See, we are always molding thoughts. And when we decide discipline is wrong, there are no consequences for my baby. Or the consequences are you can only have vanilla ice cream instead of strawberry ice cream tonight. You're giving them a very perverted understanding about sin, the just judgment on sin, God and his wisdom and how he handles sin. Think about this. Is a no-discipline parenting philosophy, particularly through the nonsense and filth of gentle parenting as an ideology compatible with Hebrews 12? The answer is no. Why? Because God said, I correct, I chasten my children because I love them and I correct them, and no chastening is enjoyable or pleasant for the moment, but long term, you know what it does? It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Parents, quit telling your kids thank you for everything. Quit asking their permission for everything. Quit affirming them about everything. Quit defending them about everything and making everyone else the villain. Quit acting like, well, they didn't do, and 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 they didn't do. But maybe next time I just say enough affirming words. If you have instructed and you have trained, there has to be consequences. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Consequences. You and your spouse, if you have one, are going to have to determine the appropriate consequences relative to the decision that was made to dishonor God and dishonor you. But it should happen. If it's not happening, you are perverting their understanding about God, holiness, themselves as a damned sinner, and what it means forever. Instruct, train, discipline, nurture. You're always trying to take those three steps to help them at every conversation, even if there's been consequences. You don't just yell at them, throw them in a corner, walk away. You are always trying to do what? Build them back towards the reality of who God is, what He's done for them, what's expected of them, and what their life actually matters for now and forever. So you're always nurturing. You know what that demands? Submission to King Jesus, yieldedness to His word, and constantly applying it with them as best as you know how. Friends, parenting is a great, great thrill ride. It's filled with bumps. It's filled with frustrations. It's filled with excitement. It's filled with a few moments, right? But outside of putting your trust in Christ, perhaps outside of finding your spouse, it is the best privilege of your life to shape eternal souls towards Christ. And you can't make them make a decision. Don't be foolish or feel guilty about that. You can't make them make a decision personally. They have autonomy before God to find and make a decision about their faith in Jesus Christ. But woe unto us if we're putting every stumbling block in the way as parents. So that brings me just to bringing it to a close. There are a lot of, I've been doing this thing 20 years as a pastor. I've seen so many well-meaning, professing Christian parents continually sabotage God's goal for them. You're about to just be really sassy and be unkind and make me feel bad as a parent. Yes, yes, I am. The average professing Christian parent, I don't think, looks at their kid and says, you know what I want to do? Make them think less of God. You know what I want to do? Make them not believe in God. You know what I hope to accomplish? Raising somebody who hates God. That's my goal. Well, how do then professing parents end up creating not one, not two, maybe three, four, whatever it is, a consistent product through their process of parenting? I would just challenge you to say that if you genuinely are a professing Christian parent, it comes, even as some of the teens said, not in the overt sinful ways, but in your lack of discernment about what's eternally wise and best versus what is not sinful, but just maybe good. And it comes through your schedule, accepting what the world has told you is the most important priorities. You know what it looks like, parents? You being willing to give them over to sports for 6 to 8 hours a week. Church, well, that's debatable. Did you hear that? Professing parents making foolish choices eternally that breed the seeds of indifference or apathy for their young people. Exceptionalism. I don't mean like exceptionalism. I mean like, yeah, we'll be at church unless, except. Normally, sweetie, we would have somebody over to have hospitality towards the gospel. But you know what happens? All this accept breeds a transactional mindset about God. So no surprise when our young adults don't find eternity important. I want to push, nudge, annoy parents to recognize you have this great opportunity from God. Don't squander it. You've got 6,570 days. How many of them are reflecting in a consistent manner with the grace of God? I'm going to train up my child in the way he should go towards God. You can't make him make a decision? Well, what does it mean when he's old, they won't depart? If you do your part, you can't guarantee the outcome on their part. But here's what you can do. Show that you believe the power of the Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, that in that when they are old, it won't depart from them. They may be 30 and an atheist, but you know what the Holy Spirit still is using in their mind, even if you can't see it? All the intentionality, all the truth that they heard, all the truth you spoke to them, using it. Well, but they didn't convert. That's not yours to do. It's yours to pray for, but not yours to make happen. And so what do? You keep pouring in. I want to encourage some of you parents who feel like, man, I did my best, and I've got a 19-year-old that just, or I've got a grandkid, or I've got a niece or a nephew who, listen, that's going to happen. Don't doubt the power of the Word, the power of the Spirit, the power of your influence, the power of prayer for their eternal change. And keep going. Keep after them. Keep being that loud voice in their ear on purpose. Well, what if they cut me out of their life? That happens, sadly, sometimes. It's horrible. It's awful. It's not right. Kids are to honor their parents for life. But you can trust that God, who loves them more than you do, has other Christian voices layered into their life as well. And even if they tried to push all those away, God promised us there is a helper on this earth, the unseen helper doing his work to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And who is that? The Holy Spirit. Train them up in the way they should go, and you're giving God all the ammunition. He's already at work, but you're doing your part in aiding that work by helping them get to the point where they can't get away from and escape from the truth that they're created to spend eternity somewhere forever. It's either going to be with God through repentance of their sin and their trust in Jesus Christ, or they're going to reject and just say, no, no, no. And God's given them the free will, autonomy to do so. They say, I'm just not going to. And then they will unfortunately justly stand before him as a righteous judge to be judged forever. You do your part. You accept your role. No more excuses. No more, I've had a hard life. No more, but my spouse. You do everything you can. Are some of those other things true? They might be. You do your part. I'll do my part. And we can't guarantee outcomes, but we can put ourselves in the most leveraged position possible, according to God and his wisdom, to affect change. Parents, do your part. Incorporate voices that will also help do that part. Titus 2, the church, family of God, even beyond. And then be very judicious about the voices that are constantly fighting against that. Coaches, band directors, teachers, neighbors, parents, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, whoever it is, you identify those voices, you still be gracious, but you have a very active limiting factor there, because your voice should be in concert with God's voice to them through the Word and the Spirit to help them come to him. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want to encourage you today. As a parent, you may just be sitting here thinking, you know, I'm not a follower. I want to see my kid do well, but you're up here telling me I'm going the wrong way already if I'm not a follower of his. I want to encourage you to explore that today, that you'll have a conversation with somebody in the foyer. There's going to be men and women out there ready to help you, ready to aid you as you have a conversation about becoming a follower of Jesus. And then I'd be remiss. I'd do you harm if I didn't say to some parents who are professing Christians, who are living consistently disobedient, your marriage is garbage. Your home life is toxic. Your church attendance is speculative. Your daily life shows a pursuit of this realm. You need to give up your fake profession and be converted to Jesus. No more, I'm a Christian. No more, I believe in God. No more, and living a completely fake, duplicitous life. Repent today. And then, my friends, they're parenting here, trying to do your best you can. You keep going back to God and realize He loves you. He's aiding you. He wants to help you. Continue to seek and find help from other Christian parents going that direction and realize He has so much work to do and you and through you as well. Don't discount it, all right? Let's pray this morning. Father, give us help. I don't want to take it lightly, my responsibility and accountability to you. I don't want to take it lightly, my wife's accountability and responsibility to you. I don't want to take it flippantly, how we need to both be in union and submission to you and with each other for your eternal purposes, for the souls granted to our home. And we'd be willing to be honest about where our kids at in their fruit of profession, rather than just hoping to just see them say something and be a profession that we can say, phew, did it. No, may we be honest and objective as possible. May we be proactive in these daily moments where we convey value, we convey the authority of your word, we convey what you want to do in our lives, we call them to correction and repentance towards you. Lord, may we accept our roles to instruct, train, discipline, nurture. If you called kids to honor and obey, may we help them obey those roles. May we make it better for them in those roles. So I pray for parents to be challenged and encouraged. If we need encouragement, please accomplish that. If we need exhortation, there's a change. May we make that change. May we give up that. May we change that schedule. May we stop doing what we've been doing. May we realize even if we've committed, I'm going to stop and I'm going to change, that today we'd say, I'm going to do it. Even if I failed in the past, today's a fresh start, a fresh day, fresh help from you. And Lord, I ask for our young people to recognize their value with you as eternal souls, image bearers designed to be restored and reconciled through Jesus. So God, may we think very long and hard about what we're doing in our homes, raising the next generation of Christian servants. May we think about what we're doing that needs to be changed, thrown out, and then change towards that which is proper, according to your word. Pray that you'd help each of us as parents not to bristle, but to be submissive to your spirit. We ask it in the name of Jesus, our great Savior. Amen. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment. Our heads bowed. It gives us a time of reflection to respond to what God's doing in your life and your heart. As a parent, if you want to pray about something, I'm going to turn off my mic. I'm going to be out front ready and glad to help you. If you're here and you want to talk about Jesus, there are people ready to help you out in the foyer where you came in at. Whether you're ready to talk today or want to set up an appointment. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm not a parent, but the Holy Spirit's been working in my heart about something that needs to change. Take some time now to reflect. Our heads are bowed. Let's take a moment to reflect. You may be seated at this time right before our baptism this morning. I'll turn that over to Pastor Derek. I want to just give you two quick announcements. I want to encourage you to be at Spiritual Renewal Conference this week, Friday at 7, Saturday at